In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. You know, the last couple of weeks, we've talked about the call stories of the disciples, and how, especially last week in Matthew's gospel, Matthew, who is fond of immediately and suddenly and whiz, bang, whammo, all of a sudden, he didn't mince. He was very to the point, and everything happened immediately. Remember, in last week's gospel reading, it was that Jesus called out to Peter and to Andrew and to James and John and said, "Drop your nets and follow me." And immediately they dropped their nets and followed. We learned and we talked about how God called ordinary people. God called regular, run-of-the-mill, everyday people to do extraordinary work. Now we go to the Old Testament for that history on what it is those ordinary people were supposed to do. See, Jesus was culturally Jewish. Let me say that again. Jesus was culturally Jewish. The texts of our Old Testament are the ones he'd go to temple and hear, okay? He knew the Psalms. He knew the prophets. He understood these scripture readings. Different, perhaps, than his companions did, and definitely different than his contemporaries, because he was the living embodiment and is the living embodiment of God. But he knew these scriptures. As a human being, Jesus of Nazareth knew these scriptures. He knew full well what happened in the history of the Jewish people, from their captivity in Egypt to their freedom and their wandering in the wilderness for 40 years to their finally reaching the promised land. He knew about the histories of the wars. He knew these things. They were ingrained in him. He learned them at his mother's knee. He learned them growing up in the community he grew up in. He knew full well that the prophet Micah had written these words in a time when Israel was in bondage and in captivity. He understood this to a new level. So when the light of the world came into this world and went about his ministry and calling his disciples, he had this understanding. More than that, those simple people, those ordinary, everyday people he called, also knew these scriptures. They had common footing in this. They had, as part of their background together, the call of the prophets. The prophets, Isaiah, who had written, "Those who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On them a great light has shined." Micah, who wrote, "And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" Jesus, if nothing else, teaches not only then but also today that it's all important. That what is at the heart of the matter is truly what belongs. When Micah writes, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" It is that reminder that you are to do what is right. You are to do what is right. And what is right but to do justice? To stand up for the person who cannot stand up for themselves. To be the voice for the voiceless. And the arms for the strength for the weak. To love kindness. To truly love being kind to people. And to walk humbly with God, knowing full well that if it were not for God's leading, we would not be able to do what it is we are called to do. In our psalm this morning, the psalmist writes, "O Lord, who may abide in your tent?" 2020 Ithaca Ease. God, who is worthy to camp out at your house? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Who is it that's allowed to be in your presence? And the psalmist continues, those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with their God. The psalmist finishes up Psalm 15 and says, those who do these things shall never be moved. Friends, the call for us today is quite simply this. Are we a people who follow what Jesus believed and taught? Are we a people who can do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with our God? Are we able to act what we preach? Are we able to make sure that when we speak, we are speaking the truth in love and not sticking it to somebody, right? Are we really truly able to give our time and our talents, for example, to the pantry or any other charitable group that we work with that pure heart, without standing there and talking about those who maybe are in need of those services? I'm going to tell you right now, I'm as guilty as the next person. I'm going to tell you right now, I am as sinful as the rest of us. I think I can do better. I think we all can do better. There's not much that's required. If you think back to what the great commandment is when they asked Jesus, what is the greatest of all commandments? Right? And what did he say? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And it's not just us gathered in this room. It's a societal problem. It is a societal problem that we are awful good at loving ourselves, but not the guy next to us. We are awful good at saying, here we are and here it is what we are doing, without walking humbly with the God who put us in that place to do that. We, society, are awful good at polishing our own drum. Without standing up for those who have no polish themselves. I try not to watch the news, and I try not to read much more of the paper than the Gratiot County Herald. I read the Gratiot County Herald for this back on this day, so that I learn the history of this place. Because if we're honest, the rest of the news is just too much. Amen? The rest of the news hurts too much. Regardless of what it's about. It's a mess. How is it then that we can respond? How is it then that we can respond and do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with our God while we live in a world like this? Somebody asked me the question this past week, how is it that we can have hope in a world that looks hopeless? Somebody asked me, that same person asked me this week, how is it that you can stand up on Sunday morning and preach about the love of God when all we hear is about the sadness and the destruction and the darkness in this world? O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blameless and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbor, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. I don't know about you guys, but I am not in a spot right this minute where I am able to abide in his tent. But I have great hope. I have great hope. And I have an assurance of a promise that was made to me and was made to each of you. And we reaffirm every time we share this meal. And every time we gather in this place in his name. The truth is that Jesus came, yes. But Jesus is also coming again. And our God did not create us to live in a world that is broken and hurting like this world is. Our God created us to be loved, to know who we are and whose we are, to claim who we belong to, that we are God's and we are deeply, deeply loved by him, that there is not a sin that he is not willing to forgive. But that's not carte blanche to do nothing about it, because we were also called to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God. We were also called to walk the walk. So in these days, as we prepare for that day of looking back, in these days, as we prepare to celebrate the years that have gone on before us this day, let's do a little imagining about what it might look like in the next years. Let's do a little imagining about how this church, about how this community of believers can be a people who truly walk the walk. Let's have some conversations and some imaginings and some dreamings in the next months about how we can be a people who lead by example of how we can do justice and love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. Let's put it into practice, folks, because I firmly believe that the news stories and the state of our society is not changing until we do something about it. It's all fine and fun to talk about it. It's all fine and fun for me to preach about it on Sundays. We've got to get up and do something. May our God truly show up. May we see where God is leading. May we be able to walk humbly behind him. Amen.